You've got to keep on going. Just like the Napa Valley was made for wine, was made for good wine, human beings are made for good relationships. So just because you get a bad season doesn't mean that you get to stop. This is your product. Relationship, healthy relationship. This is your product. You don't get to just stop. Or at least I think that's how I believe that you should look at it. You can do whatever. You can lay down and stop. But then the question is, like I said, about those Napa vineyards, right? The sommelier in Napa. If you want to lay down and stop, what else you want to do? What else you want to do? This is your product. This is what you were designed for. The Napa Valley made for this. This is what you were made for. So what else you want to do? Hey, y'all. Welcome to season 5 of Boundaries and Grace. My name is Taylor Chandler, and I'm your host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I help people break negative love cycles. I do that through one-on-ones and through group programs. You'll hear all about that as we go through the season. But today, this was just me, solo episode called The Bare Minimum. Hope you get something out of it. I hope it encourages you to check your own excuses, to remove the barriers in your own life, and to move forward, because this is what we were made for. I'll see you at the end. Enjoy. Okay, nice. Ruben from Sweden. Thank you for being here. Cool. You are often in the room, so I appreciate you listening in. Okay, so again, I'm re-recording this intro because I started saying that it was a toxic love cycle, and it's not. I don't use that word toxic in my bio, so I'm dropping it from the intro as well this season and forward. Okay, so let's try it again. My name is Taylor Chandler, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm an attachment coach. I help people break negative love cycles, okay? I help people break negative love cycles. A huge part of that is shifting people from an insecure attachment style to a secure attachment style. That is like the crux of my practice. Today we're talking about the bare minimum. First, I just want to kind of just make this point that I know that my therapy practice, my coaching practice is different than most because I don't stop at like exploring and understanding why you do something. Okay, I'm really intentional about improving and moving forward. A note on that, because sometimes when someone first comes upon this page or this podcast, they get worried that we're like not going to talk about your feelings or something, or that I'm just going to like steamroll your feelings. And it's just totally, it's a total fallacy. It's not true. Improving, a huge part of improvement involves confronting your emotions and the things confronting your emotions and the pieces of you that are uncomfortable. Okay. Or pieces of you that you haven't touched before emotionally, mentally, okay, from the past, from the present, or even hopes and dreams for the future that have been difficult to actually express. And that part, confronting it and getting comfortable with those parts of you, is a huge part of improving as an individual and improving your relationships. However, what's different about this practice is that I don't stop there. We don't stop there. Before I hit the record button, I talked about my clients a bit and how proud I am of them for being willing to go past just exploring and understanding. I have to say this. I'm starting off the season with a little bit of, we can call it smoke. I've been wanting a little bit more smoke. So too many therapists allow this, okay? Too many therapists allow just for exploring and understanding, and it seems that they stop there. For some therapists, coaches, it's all that they know to do. It's all they know how to do. They may not have gone where you want to go, where you need to go to get the kind of outcomes that you want. So truly, some therapists only explore and help you to basically understand what's going on because it's all they know how to do. It's no shade. It's no shade. I know these people. It's no shade, but this is a reality. How do I know? How do I know? A couple reasons why I know that. And I'm saying this because it's not all like it's not all like the client's fault that you haven't gotten to where you want to go. Sometimes you're paired with or have chosen people who just can't get you to where to get you there. Okay. Why is that? I think there's two big reasons. One, I think a lot of therapists and coaches oversaturate themselves. Okay. So meaning that they're trying to solve a bunch of different problems in the same day or the same week. They got eating disorders. They have anxiety. They got sleep issues. We got senior citizens over here. We got children under 8 over there. It's just oversaturated. And so they're unable to focus in, hone in on one specific problem. So they're unable to know the ins and outs of it. Does that make sense? Okay, when we become oversaturated, I've been talking about attention a lot on my Instagram, attention, focusing your attention, narrowing things down. Another word for that for people who are kind of into if you're like a business coach or something, or, you know, business terms, niche. A lot of therapists don't find a niche. And so they're just when you graduate from school, you're a therapist and you're competent. They assume that you're competent. You take a test to show that you're competent in many different areas and different theories of practice. But is that the best way to do it, to solve a specific problem in the most efficient way? No, the brain doesn't work like that. Okay, so some therapists are just oversaturated, so they're unable to help you with specific problems. So I talked about what my niche is. I help people break negative, not toxic, negative love cycles, okay? And we go from an insecure attachment style to a secure attachment style. That's the crux of my practice. I don't do all of these other things, so my clients go forward a lot more efficiently. Here's another thing. Some therapists, plenty of them, are afraid of challenging you, okay? And that's why I'm starting this season off with this particular thing, because so many people are afraid to challenge their clients, okay, because they want you in the seat. This is just the reality. This season is just going to be a whole lot of let's just be direct. Let's just call it what it is. Because they need you in the seat. So they're afraid of challenging you because you might get upset and you might not come back, and they're unable to manage that discomfort in a way where it ends up being productive. And so someone might leave just feeling uncomfortable, just feeling defeated, rather than feeling like they have a way forward. And so that's another reason why a lot of people get stuck in this exploring and understanding, because it's safe there. It's safe to just look around, to peek around the corner, and to not actually sit in front of the monster in the closet and say, what are you doing here? And how do I get you to leave? Okay. So I understand why this happens, but that's not the most efficient way of going about it. So this practice is different. We just take the monster out of the closet and look at it dead in the eye and say, who are you? What are you doing here? How do I get you to leave? And that's why we go through these things faster. And too many individuals are okay with this, are okay with just exploring and understanding and not actually sitting in front of that monster in the closet, confronting those uncomfortable pieces, okay? And so, I've always in this work, I've been direct, I've been honest, and it's only going to get more so as we go. But that does not mean that we lack empathy and understanding and compassion. That's the reason why I named this podcast Boundaries and Grace, because there is a balance that we get at. So I'm highlighting all of this because we're in this time, and we've been here for years, this generation especially, in this time where people want to feel good. And we're going to talk about why that's become such a problem, or people want to feel good. And so when I come at it like this, people think that some enough for us to be talking about it, right? Some find it almost offensive just to hear the truth. And my goal is to get us more balanced to where we can hear the truth about ourselves and the truth about reality and what's going on, and have compassion and grace for ourselves and others. But what I'm never going to do is pretend like reality isn't reality, or feed you something sugary to appease you, because it's not going to fill you up. So let's be really, really clear. Okay? All right. Well, and yeah, too many individuals are okay with just exploring and understanding. Look, this happens all the time. And then we're going to get into really the details of this topic, okay? But I really need to preface this stuff. So this happens so much. I get on my free consult call with somebody, and they're describing insecure attachment, anxious avoidance, or a combination of both, or unable to sustain a healthy relationship. You know, the things that I do, right? So, and then they're like, I've been in therapy. I've been seeing my therapist. This just happened this morning, and y'all, I mean, oh my gosh, you would be shocked how often this happens. People say, oh, I've been seeing my therapist. It's been 2 years. And then I let them finish. And I'm like, this is not a 2 year problem. It's not. And I'm saying that regardless of the traumas you experience, I'm not saying that you're going to like work through every single trauma and you're just going to walk away feeling like, oh, nothing ever happened to me. No, but to get you to a healthy place where you feel confident and you're able to move forward and you're making better decisions, we don't take a year to do that over here. Okay. So I keep having to confront this issue with not even my potential clients that get on the phone. I'm like, you know, it's no offense. I don't know your therapist, but if this is the issue that you brought up and you've been just exploring for the last 2 years, the last year and a half, the last 18 months, the last 12 months, you're on the wrong track. Okay. The most common package that my clients do, they start with 12. Okay. And then most will reduce their frequency after that. But I guarantee you that after those 12, you're more confident. You're able to make better decisions. You're able to filter. You have better discernment. You're able to trust yourself more. You are solving these problems. Okay. So it's just really important. I'm going to be saying that. I mean, I'm coming for therapists. I'm coming for people who are wasting your money. I'm coming for people who are wasting your time. I'm coming for people who this is a comment that happened literally again this morning. This client, or rather this potential client, this potential client said, even brought up attachment, said, do you think that I'm making healthy attachments? And the client and the therapist said, yeah, I think that you're fine, appeasing this person when it's clear that these issues are so unresolved, they're pouring out. And this person had seen that therapist for the last 2 years. No, no, no. So I have an issue with that. I have an issue with that. It's either one of two things. You either don't know what you're talking about and you're afraid to say it, or you actually think that you know what you're talking about and you don't. Both are dangerous. So that was two. I'm going to give you three. The third one, that you're afraid to just tell this person the truth and you're wasting their time. So if you're a client seeing a therapist and you've been on this page and listen to this podcast and you're like, oh yeah, 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 that's me. And it's been over 8 months. You need to think about what's going on. Okay. I'm tired of people wasting their time and money. That's one of the first things I tell my clients. You should not be here with me forever. My goal is to move you on and through your, and go live your life. Okay. So, well, that's how we're starting this season, y'all. That's how we're starting this season. So here we go. Improvement requires challenge. So I said a couple times already, you know, like that sometimes we have a fear of confronting things ourselves. And sometimes a therapist or loved ones, they're afraid of confronting us with challenge. And that's how we maintain the status quo. It's much easier there. Okay. It's much more comfortable there because you know how to do it. That's the point of the status quo. Okay. It's comfortable. You know how to do it. You know what to expect. Okay, you're used to it. That is your norm. But improvement requires challenge. And that's something that every single person that I work with, even if you're on this page, most people on this page have never worked with me on an individual or group basis, the vast majority, right? But you know that I'm challenging you because improvement requires that. Improvement requires overcoming resistance. Improvement requires overcoming resistance. Too many people get uncomfortable and think that that's a sign to stop. It's the opposite. It's a sign when you're trying to discover and you're learning and you're going back and you're resolving and you're coming in and you're planning for the future. It's going to be uncomfortable. The resistance isn't a sign to stop. It's a sign that you're in the right place. It's a sign that you're moving beyond the threshold. Threshold. Thresh. That's the name of my LLC. The reason why I chose it is because threshold. It requires a certain level of energy to that you exert to move beyond the threshold. If you're unwilling to exert the energy, you will stay where you're at. It's a natural law. Improvement requires challenge. Improvement requires overcoming resistance. You can't just stop because it doesn't feel good. We talked about that a couple minutes ago, right? Here we are. You can't just stop because it doesn't feel good. So think about strength training. You might have never worked out a day in your life, but you understand how this thing works. Okay? When you lift weights, you get stronger. If you stopped when it felt heavy, you would stay the same. Why? It's a natural law. It's a natural law. If you go and jog around the block every day for 30 days, you'll progressively get better. No one can avoid that. You literally cannot avoid improvement when you work at it. And if you don't sabotage the improvement, and we're going to talk about sabotage tonight too. So you cannot avoid improvement when you work at it. And do not sabotage it. Okay, that's a positive and a negative. You end up at zero, right? Plus one, minus one, it means zero. You have to have more pluses than minuses. These are laws, okay? No one avoids this, no one. So again, thinking about strength training, improvement requires overcoming resistance. When you get stronger by adding, I'm thinking about, think about a squat. You get stronger when you add on weight. It's not comfortable the first time. You have a max. You have a what? Everybody, every single person, whether you ever lifted weights or not, every single person has a max PR. Okay. If you never lifted it, maybe it's 10 pounds. Okay, that's your max. When you add weight on, it's not going to be, when you go to 15, it's not going to be comfortable. You were at 200, you went to 210. It's not going to be comfortable, but you have to keep going in order to make that a new norm. You are literally restructuring your body. You are literally creating a new baseline. It's the same principle in your emotional and mental life. These are laws of improvement. Okay, these are the principles of improvement. So the same thing that works in the physical world is the same thing that works in your mental world. It's the same thing that works in your emotional world. So the more that you work at it, the more pluses that you get, you overcome the resistance, you create a new baseline. All of a sudden, you're more resilient. It's the same thing when you're weightlifting. Okay, so I need you to make that connection. So improvement requires resistance. Anyone that is willing to not challenge you and to allow you to stay in your bullshit is not for you. I mean, they're not doing you any favors. How about that? They aren't doing you any favors. And so there's a balance, right, of compassion for you and also love enough for the process, love enough for you. I treat my clients like I treat myself. Okay. When I do this podcast, again, most people, the vast majority of people on this page have never worked with me one-on-one or group, and it will always be that way, right? But I treat this work like I treat myself, compassion and grace for you, and I respect you enough to not allow you, when you're with me, to accept the bare minimum, because I'm not doing you any favors. So here we go. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. This is pretty serious, huh? This is the tone for season 5. I guess. All right. So let's see. Where are we at? Things that work are also things that often don't sound good. Okay. I want you to think about sowing and reaping. Most people are familiar with this sort of metaphor, right? When you, what you sow, you will reap. Sowing a harvest means that you've planted seeds and you expect to be able to pull from that harvest something that's going to be beneficial for you. Sowing and reaping, you sow the seeds and you expect to reap a harvest. People know the metaphor and ignore the principles behind sowing and reaping. Sowing requires patience, time. It requires waiting around when nothing's going on. It requires consistency and it requires preparation. This is the non-sexy stuff. This is the non-sexy stuff that people want to, that a lot of people don't want to talk about. I start my groups with this. Like, recalibrate starts with routine and consistency. Reattach starts with personal responsibility and releasing blame. This is the not sexy stuff. This is the unsexy stuff. This is the stuff that requires waiting, patience, time, consistency, preparation. Okay, but this is the law. If you do not sow, you cannot reap. And one of the reasons why I'm doing this episode and starting off this season like this is because we as a whole have too many people that just want to reap, whether that's with personal results, in relationships, okay? We have a lot of reapers and not enough sowers. And so my goal is to help you to understand, or if you're already on this, to reinforce that you're on the right track. So sowing requires waiting, time, patience, consistency, and preparation, okay? No one gets around this. We don't create the laws. And we're, again, in this time where we think we can just say something and it's real. That's not true. If it goes against natural law, it's invalid. And I guess I'm going to keep saying this. A lot of people don't want to hear that because it doesn't sound good. But these are natural laws. In order to sow, in order to reap, you must sow. We don't create the laws. We discover them. These are things that just exist. People have been writing about this, talking about this for centuries before language this existed. Why? Because we didn't create this law by writing about it. We discover it. And then we continue to reinforce it by when we see it in practice all of the time. This is how we get results, good results. Okay, because everything is a result, but whether it's good or bad, whether it's something preferable or not, depends on how you sow. Okay, we all. Okay, this is, I'm just laying the foundation here, and this is important. We want to just get the thing. When I work with people, when I do this podcast, when I do this work, I don't care about getting to the sugar rush. Okay, I care about you understanding like how human behavior works, how to get the best results, and that takes some patience. So if you want to, people that just skip to the end and do, I mean, I don't have a lot of respect for that process because I understand that you're going to get a C average result. But, you know, some people are okay with that kind of life. I don't know. But I have a lot of respect for people who can understand the foundation because then you know what you're building on. Okay, so good for you. All right, we're going to talk about this one law because we could talk about a lot of natural laws and how to make those things work for you, but we're talking about this one in particular today. The higher the investment, the higher the return. In other words, the more you put in, the more you get out. We're going to talk about these three things, why it's so difficult for people to accept that they're living a bare minimum kind of life. Okay, or they're going with a bare minimum strategy. Why is it so difficult for people to accept that you need to do more? Okay. Second thing, how is this sabotaging your personal life and relationships? And third, how to come back into natural order, or in other words, how to activate this natural law. So let's start with number one. Why is this so difficult to accept? Let me grab some water. While I'm grabbing some water, I'm going to read this comment that Ruben wrote. Ruben's in Sweden. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that we seek, but it's uncomfortable as hell, and it can feel counterintuitive to head in there. We, or at least I, need proper support to do it. Ruben, thank you for that quote. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that we seek. Yep, that's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing. And you're right, we do need proper support to do it. We need people who are courageous enough to do it. We need people who know the way, who can guide, and if they can't guide, can they support? Can they at least not detract from you or lie to you or appease you? That's doing nobody any favors. All right, so let's talk about this first one. Why is it so difficult for people to accept? Oh, we got a couple things here. People feel they've been taken advantage of. So what did we say the law was? high investment gets high return. One of the most common reasons why people say, and this is especially true in like the relationship landscape, relational landscape, like in dating, for example, I don't want to give too much because they might not appreciate, because basically don't even finish the sentence. You fear being taken advantage of. And it's not that you haven't actually been taken advantage of, but the question is, how many times has this really happened? That's a genuine question. Okay, you might have really given it your all, and someone may have rejected you or left you or used you one significant time. And again, I do acknowledge that it could have been very significant. Okay, it could have been a significant moment in your life, but someone has got to kick people in the ass. And I got to let y'all know, one time, two times is not enough to give up or to abandon the natural law. Now, understand it like this. Let me flip it for you. Let's say that you gave high investment and you were rejected, left, or used. Understand it like this. That person is out of order. They are out of order. They have detoured from the natural law of giving and receiving. We've been talking about reciprocity a lot lately too. So instead of you now detracting from your best life, now you're not willing to give your best because that person was out of order, because that person couldn't appreciate you, because that person didn't understand how to reciprocate. That's your reasoning for not giving your best, for not showing up for people because one person or maybe two people, and I'm not saying it wasn't significant. I'm not saying it didn't hurt. I'm not even saying it wasn't traumatic as hell. But what I am saying is to use those as like one or two things as a justification, even three. I don't care. I honestly don't care what the frequency is for you. Okay. But that is not a justification for not showing up as your best self for yourself or anybody else. It's a bad excuse. It's a bad excuse because you've been taken advantage of and hurt. And now you're going in with a C average out there to date. You're going out there as your C average self looking for an A. It's ridiculous. It's a bad excuse. Leave it. Let it go. Work through it and let it go. You're in fear. You're in scarcity. And I could argue that you were attracting because now, so you had one bad experience. Now you're all jaded. Now you're all pissed going out, attracting people who are going to do the same thing, because that's what we do until we become conscious of these patterns, conscious of our own toxicity or negativity and how that invites people who mirror that back to us. So you may have had one significant bad one and then now you're going out looking for the same thing. And I don't mean looking intentionally, but I'm seeing you're like every other human being where most of our behavior is driven by our subconscious. Over 95% of your behavior and actions throughout the day, your subconscious. So if in your subconscious you have fear that you're going to be taken advantage of, you behave that way, whether you know it or not, or not, or not. So the goal is to make that conscious so that you can do something about it. So you have too many people that feel they've been taken advantage of, and you may truly have been taken advantage of, and you're using it as a justification to go out in the world with a C average. You may have given your all to someone who rejected you, left you, used you. So how many times has that really happened? Okay. Or are you reading about it on the internet and you're on all these Instagram accounts talking about all these bad experiences people have, and you're like, oh, a bunch of weirdos out there, a bunch of bad guys, a bunch of bad girls out there. Okay. It's a bad excuse. It's a bad excuse. All right. So it's not that it didn't happen. It's that you shouldn't use that to justify that stuff. All right. You may have given up after these failures, right? Which are also just life experiences. So people, I know people don't like to hear this, but people are getting kind of soft. Okay. Like we're one failure. Oh, I can't get my heart broken again. Really? Really? You don't want to, it's uncomfortable, but I mean, it's not that you can't, it's that you're not willing to risk. Life involves risk. Okay, life involves risk. The things you want the most require risk. putting yourself out there, believing that you can bounce back when it goes wrong. Okay. You got to build some resilience and some confidence. All right. Think about it like this. Think about it like this. We talked about sowing and reaping, right? So if a farmer, because not every farmer gets a good harvest. Okay. Think, and if you know about wine, when, speaking of wine, let me get a sip. I forgot. Celebrate season 5. If you know about wine, and if you don't, I'm going to give you this little fun fact. Okay. When the quality of the wine depends on the weather, the climate, the soil, what was happening environmentally in the vineyard. So let's say what's a popular wine country, you're talking about Napa and California, okay? You know that Napa, California produces consistently good wine. If Napa had a freeze, let's say just Napa, microscope, boom, an ice age over Napa for 1 year, as much good wine that Napa produces wouldn't overcome the ice that hit in that 1 year. Why am I making that connection? Because if in that season in Napa, who had a consistently positive track record, they get hit with some ice, it's going to F those grapes up. It doesn't matter the reputation. It doesn't matter the track record. The quality of the wine anywhere in the world is directly and significantly impacted by the environment. If the Napa vineyards shut down after that one ice storm, that I'm making this up, Rod, this did not happen because Napa has like perfect weather, and that's why they have consistently good grapes, consistently good wine. If the vineyard in Napa, whichever one, if they got hit with that ice and they weren't able to produce the wine and they stopped, you would look at them like they were crazy. You would say, try again. What are you talking about? That was just one time. If the farmer had one bad harvest due to what, again, whatever kind of circumstances, and they stopped and they gave up, well, what are they supposed to do? It's the same. This is a law, natural law. It's the same thing in your relationships. Okay. So too many people giving up too soon. You get a one bad harvest or one every 3 years. And it's like, oh, I guess this isn't for me. No, you've got to keep on going. Just like the Napa Valley was made for wine, was made for good wine. Human beings are made for good relationships. So just because you get a bad season doesn't mean that you get to stop. This is your product, relationship, healthy individual, healthy relationship. This is your product. You don't get to just stop. Or at least I think that's how I believe that you should look at it. You can do whatever. You can lay down and stop. But then the question is, like I said, about those Napa vineyards, right? The sommelier in Napa. If you want to lay down and stop, what else you want to do? This is your product. This is what you were designed for. The Napa Valley made for this. This is what you were made for. So what else you want to do? Pardon the interruption. Let's take a little break. Let you get your edges back together. Let me let you get your edges back together. If you feel like you're ready to move forward in one-on-ones, you make sure that at the end of this episode, you check the show notes for the free consult link. You can schedule your 20-minute call. We can see if it's a good fit. I can answer any questions that you have, and you can move forward. All right, get back to it. So I'll leave it at that. All right. So that's a big one. All right, I got two more on this. We got a lot to talk about. I'm already 30 minutes in. This is good. All right, again, why is it so hard for people to accept? This is an easy one. Social media like this has made it look like this kind of thing that you're supposed to just get great results. You're supposed to just get a great relationship. You're supposed to just get a great business. just because you want it to happen. That's why these kind of these accounts, and I talk about, I throw a lot of shade about Instagram all the time, so I'm cool with it. I welcome all the smoke. These things that's just like speak it into existence, and that's it. And that's it. No, this like whole fast track to good, fast track to great doesn't exist. Nobody gets away with it. Nobody gets away with that. Nobody gets away with that. So social media makes it look like, or makes it sound like it's supposed to happen. Why? We talked about this a couple minutes ago. Because it sounds good. Because it tickles your ears. Because they want to give you sugar rushes. That's not how this works. That's not how life works. Okay? It's hard for people to accept because you're scrolling, you just see all these results and you don't see the work. People aren't honest about the work it takes. I tell my clients all the time, my group all the time, this stuff takes work, constant, consistent, daily consciousness about where you want to be. You don't just get to show up once a week to group for 2 hours. Do that, get a C average or a D in your results. And I don't take any of that responsibility. That's on you. That's on you. This, if you want great results, this is consistent consciousness about where you want to go, what you want to be, who you want to be. You don't just get to show up to a podcast. You don't just get to download my podcast and listen for 1 hour a week and think that something great's going to happen. No, this is to facilitate growth, but this is daily, consistent, conscious effort. This takes work. Okay. This takes work. So this is another reason why why this principle is hard for people to accept. The higher your investment, the higher your return. Because honestly, a lot of people want this to be easy. A lot of people, honestly, if plenty of people could just sit down and be honest with themselves, you want it to be easy. You want it to be easy. So the best thing you could do is to just admit it. If that's the case, just admit it. If you've been procrastinating, is it fear, which is valid? That's for a lot of people. Is it fear or is it laziness? Are you just unwilling to, you just expected to show up to group or show up to therapy once a week? And you don't want to do anything else because it's too much. You're too tired. You just don't. Or some people, you're just entitled. Ooh, this is a tough first episode for the season. You feel a lot. You just entitled, and you got to get honest about that with yourself. Okay. Some people are just entitled. I just feel like this should. Oh my gosh. How many times are we hearing this today? I just deserve it. I just deserve the best. I just deserve to have great things. Why? Just because you exist? There are certain human entitlements, like human rights. Okay. Like human rights, like being like treated like an equal. That doesn't mean that you deserve a great relationship or a great job or a great, that doesn't, it's not the same thing. People are conflating the issue. You're just putting all these things in the same bucket. I deserve. No. 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 And so it's one of these reasons why it's difficult for people to accept this principle and live by it, that you need to invest high to get great outcomes, to get great results. If you want to just exist or just show up to do the bare minimum, you're going to get the bare minimum outcomes, the bare minimum results. People keep trying to cheat the system. You can't cheat natural law. You got in your head that people's heads are just so big and delusional. Just because you saw it on a meme, saw it on a little quote on Instagram, doesn't make it real. Anything in opposition to nature is set to fail. It's nature. You're a natural being. You have consciousness. You're the highest form of nature. The highest form of nature. You know what that means? You came from nature. You came from this. Nature didn't come from you. Nature didn't come of humans. This existed before you existed. So you've got to submit to nature. That's everybody. That's men and women. That's all human beings. We submit to natural law. We don't get to just write it differently. This isn't coding. Like that's really like a God complex going around. It's weird, honestly. It doesn't work. It can't work. And it's not because it would be nice if it did. Right? It would be nice if you could just, I saw a post earlier. Oh my gosh. I was like, oh, I'm not even going to post it. I'm not even going to spread this thing around. I'm not even going to make fun of it on my story. It was like, I'm for people doing less. I'm for women doing less and getting more money. Just that alone, no context, just like, yeah, do less and get more. Doesn't make any sense. And in consuming that kind of thing, it doesn't free you. Gives you the illusion of breaking from natural responsibility that you have for your life. Well, I think I made that point. Lazy. Look, and we've all been there in some capacity. Everyone would like to do less and get more, right? Well, I mean, some of us really like working, but I think in general, a lot of us kind of like that idea in some capacity. Yeah, I would like to do less to get more. There are parts of my job I don't want to do that. There's so much background stuff that I don't want to do, and I would like to keep getting more and do less of that. That's not how this thing works. That's not how this thing works. I can't do the bare minimum in that area and expect to get more over there. That isn't, again, if you're in opposition to natural law, you're set to fail. It doesn't work. Hitting you with some hard truths on season 5, episode 1. Goodness gracious. Cheers to the season. All right, second point. This was about why does the bare minimum sabotage your personal life and relationships? And then the last thing we're going to talk about is how to come back into the natural order of things so that you can get the best results that you want. Here we go. Sabotaging yourself in relationships. Why? You're going against natural law. Why? Trying to cheat the system. Okay, so I've kind of covered this already. Low investment. Okay, yeah. In the relational sphere, especially because that's what we talk about the most, right? Definitely talk about personal responsibility and individual results, but also definitely talk the majority of this work involves getting healthier relationships. So how is this sabotaging yourself and those relationships? You want to do a low investment for high quality results. You think you can be distracted. And I'm saying general you, okay? So whether it's you, this is a good check. This is just a good check. So whether this is you or someone that you know, you're distracted or scattered or stingy, you think you could get put a low investment and expect a high quality result. It doesn't work that way. You're being cheap with yourself. Expecting that somebody should that you'll just know when you should start to invest more. You'll just be willing to do it then. No, we all practice like we play. So all of this, okay, you're gonna hold things tight to my chest, and when it's time, I'll be ready to come out. No, you won't. No, you won't. No, you won't. You have to train yourself to be at a high caliber, or whatever outcome you want, you got to do that. So if you're cool with the C average, do C average, be C average in your life, and you'll get C average outcomes. If that's cool with you, then that's exactly what you should do. You don't have to do any more than that. If you want better, you have to be better, and you have to train yourself to show up like that on a regular basis. And here's the thing, despite the feedback that you get, meaning regardless of someone else's behavior, whether someone ends up using it, misusing it, taking advantage of it, catching an attitude with you, if that's enough to knock you off, you can take the A off the table. take the A off the table. If how someone shows up, you getting right back on, you getting back on the dating scene, and somebody else, and that person needs to show up as an A for you to be an A, for you to maintain your character, maintain yourself, be at your highest caliber, it requires somebody else to do it first. Take the A off the table. And if, you know, some people truly are not willing to show up great when other people don't. That's fine. You can live that life. And if that's the case, accept the outcomes. Accept it. A-C-C-E, whatever the rest of the word is. A-C-C-E-P-C-T. Accept it. A-C-C-E-P-T. Damn. Because I wanted to make sure you didn't think it was E-X. But you know what I'm saying? Accept. You got to accept that. Whatever you're not willing to do, accept the consequences of it. Or you have nothing to complain about. Because you have nothing to complain about. Why? Because that's the law. What you give, you get. The higher the investment, the higher the reward. And if it requires that you get it on your time, when you want it, with who you want, take the A off the table. That is low quality thinking. That's low quality thinking. If I have to rely on you to be good for me to be good, you're off base. Take the C average and be happy with it. Take the C average and be happy with it. So people are sabotaging themselves in their relationships because they're going in with low investment expecting high quality. No, I need you in it. I need you in at an A. I need you showing up with an A. I need you showing up with as an A, not going in with fear and you're scared and you're worried and you're anxious. No, I need you to go in honest. I need you to go in healthfully vulnerable. I need you to go in with respect, kindness, warmth. I need you to go in like that. You can't go in scattered, stingy, distracted, and expecting someone to be focused on you, generous with you, open with you, respectful towards you. When you're coming in at a C, expecting an A, doesn't add up. Literally, it doesn't add up. Literally. Okay, so just be honest with yourself about it. Be honest with yourself. And this, I mean, that's what you got to do. Oh, where am I slipping? Where am I expecting more where I'm only willing to give less? And there's your problem. Okay. And if you're going in scared, understand this. This is another law. Nothing works in fear. Nothing works in fear. Nothing works in fear. No good decisions are made in fear. Where you're scared that something's going to happen. Where you're scared that this isn't going to work out. You're scared that someone's going to take your money. You're scared that someone's going to take your sex. You're scared that someone's going to take your house. You're scared that someone's going to steal all your cars. First of all, what are you talking about, right? A lot of people have these just big old illusions of fear and that just aren't just totally unrealistic and just made up from some, it's like a scary romantic movie. It's just horrible. Okay. We talked about that earlier, but understand nothing works in fear. So you got to work through that and confront those fears and understand that a lot of that stuff is illusion. Now, some of that stuff, some real stuff probably happened in the past. I get it. Trust me, I do. So real stuff probably happened in the past, but understand all that's here right now is your memory of it. It's not here. It's not right here. A lot of those things that the fear to move forward is based off of that stuff in the past. It's not here. That's your memory of it. I need to break you from that. Nothing works in fear. We make horrible decisions when we're scared. We make low caliber decisions when we're afraid. Low quality. You look back at your life and you see that you got with the worst people. We're talking about relationally, right? Or you made the worst personal decisions when you were feeling the worst about yourself, when you were feeling scared. I don't know if I'm going to have a date for Christmas, so let me go scoop up this person. It's the beginning of the single Super Bowl cuffing season. Let me go scoop up this person that'll just have me because I'm scared of what my family is going to say. That's somebody. I'm scared of being alone. I'm reaching an age where I don't know. I think the dating pool is closing up and I'm nervous and I'm going to end up alone. Let me just take whoever takes me. You're scared. No good decisions are made in fear. And if you look back over your life, because this is a natural law, you'll see that this is true. It's not true because I'm saying it. It's true because it's just true. What did we say earlier? We don't create these laws. We discover them. We don't create these laws. We discover it. We discover them. So that's why I don't have to ask somebody, hey, am I onto something? I know I am, because that's the way that life works. No good decisions are made in fear. Last point here. How to get back into the natural order. Here we go. Start to trust again. It's not as easy as that. I know. Right? But that has to be a goal in mind. And there are practical ways to trust again. It's not just talking about it. There are ways to practice trusting again. We do this in my group, Reattach. Okay? Practical ways of being able to open up, being healthfully vulnerable. Okay? So we have to, you have to make that a goal to start to trust again if you want to come back into your natural order. The goal should be to move from this insecure place of anxiety or avoidance or a mixture of both to move into secure attachment. To trust that good things exist and can be for you, not guaranteed for you. Too many people, you want a guarantee. The closest thing you can get to a guarantee is following the natural law. If I do more, if I work hard, if I'm consistent, if I am my best, the closest thing I can get to a guarantee is doing that and trusting that you're going to get that result. No, I mean, that's the closest thing you can get to a guarantee is getting in alignment with the natural order of things, with the natural law, and not trying to cheat the system, running around in fear, thinking that's going to work, because it won't. Okay, so trusting that good things exist and can be for you. Here's another one. Even if you come across a bad guy or a bad lady, understand, build your resilience so that you are confident enough that when it happens, because again, you're not getting out this life scotch free. So you could go in with that. You at that. We talked about high caliber. You at A plus. You at A plus back out on the dating scene, right? You are A plus. You are not exempt from the bad guy or the bad girl. They're around, right? But you have to trust and understand and build your resilience enough to know that you can bounce back from that. And not just bounce back and be paranoid, bouncing back knowing that you're stronger, better, smarter. Now you have more information. I like for people to think about it like that. You're not walking away just with trauma and stuff. You're walking away with information that's going to help you as you move forward. So don't get paranoid when bad things happen to you. This is life. Paranoia is when you're scared. You're scared of some crazy things happening. This is life. Bad things happen. Okay? Bad things happen. People lie sometimes. Okay? People don't keep their word sometimes. Again, I said this at the beginning. That is not a justification for you lowering your quality of how you show up, lowering your caliber, going in as a C average or a D when you could be wherever it is that you want to be. I like A's. But I said it before. If a C is good for you, then that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything more. I like A's. So, this is life. These aren't things to get paranoid about. It's things to gather information, get smarter, get stronger, get better. Okay? You're not exempt from bad things. I'm going to say this one comment here. Some of your mothers and fathers passed on their jadedness to you, and you think that the world is just out to get you. And the fear story, the fear narrative that is driving you, subconscious, that is your momentum, isn't even your story. It's about what happened to other people. So you got to stop consuming all of this trauma, for goodness sake. All right, and here's the last thing about that. Start applying yourself consistently. So, I mean, this was just consistent all throughout this episode. Start applying yourself consistently. I said that that's the first thing that we do in Recalibrate is do consistency, and it's routine and consistency. We go ahead and get that out the way. Cause I know I do this every single day. I know that if we don't get this unsexy part down, the routine, the consistency, if we don't get that foundation, I'm just entertaining you. And again, some people will do that and they'll just take your money. But no, you need to understand routine, consistency, discipline. We'll talk about that in a second. So yeah, that's how you can get back into the natural order. Start applying yourself consistently. Okay. get good feedback from someone who's been there, someone who's going to be honest with you and doesn't just want to appease you and give you sugar rushes. That's what I always talk about Instagram accounts that people follow. Be careful. Okay. Check who you're surrounded by. What are their outcomes? What are their outcomes? Are they living a life that you like? Do they live in a way that you admire, that they are proud of? So check the people that you're around, because a lot of people are consuming information that sounds good. Again, tickles your ears. It feels good. It's easy to digest, but their outcomes are not tangible or real. All you realize when you really look at it is it's just words and hype. But are the outcomes in real life the things that you want for yours? So check the people that you're around. So I'm going to give you a quick little acronym here. DRAFT, DRAFT, okay? And then we're wrapping this thing up. Cool. It's like right under an hour. Woo, this was a lot in here. This was a serious episode for the premiere of season 5. All right. So, okay. How do you get out of the bare minimum mindset? D, discipline, routine, consistency. If you're not consistent about you, this is one of the main things that people talk about with what they want in a partner, someone who's consistent, stable, but you all over the place. That's again, that's that C average, one and an A plus. So you gotta get some discipline, okay? Routine, consistency. Look at your habits, do an audit of your habits, okay? What are you doing on a daily basis? If your most consistent habit is scrolling and watching YouTube videos, that's on you. That's something that you have direct control over and you can change that. So healthy habits, routine, and consistency. R, realistic. Be realistic. Said this whole sugar rush thing. Be realistic in the time that it takes to reach the goals that you want. You have to define where you're going or you're scattered. I have so many people that come in and just all over the place because you don't know where you're going. You need to define that endpoint. And if you don't know what it is, it's okay. Get some help to define where it is that you want to go. We do that in the very first thing of Recalibrate. Identity, your ideal identity, so that you can reverse engineer it. You have to be able, so I need you to get the outline so that you can fill it in with the habits, with the disciplines, with the consistency that you need that is going to, we're all made of our habits. All of us are made of our habits. Our identities are our habits. Okay. So if you want to be this thing, if you want to be this person, let's just say secure person to make it general, right? Then there are certain things that you need to fill in that are in alignment with that identity. So you need to be realistic about the time it's going to take and the specific goals that you need to accomplish in order for you to get there. Instead of secure attachment, I mean, you guys know what an attorney is, right? If you want to be an attorney, you say, I want to be that. You have to reverse engineer it. You need to get good grades in school. You need to be applied to law school by a certain time. You know you're going to have to study a lot. You know you can't be out doing a bunch of crazy stuff. You know you probably can't get arrested doing, for grand larceny, right? You could reverse engineer it. What is it that you want? Fill in the outline. Be realistic about the time and goals, and don't keep falling for this stuff that's just, you just can manifest it by just speaking it, okay? That's not how this thing works. And then people end up getting into their upper ages being like, what happened? Nothing happened, because it was just a dream and nothing was tangible, physically done in a physical world. Dreams are totally important. Yes, you need to have vision, but we live in a physical world. You're a physical being. You're a spiritual being right? I'm not going to get into all that. Come on. Spiritual being having a physical existence. You are in a physical body as of today. Okay. So there are physical, tangible things that have to be done in order for you to get those things that you want. So be realistic. Focus. Train your attention. The more you can train your attention, your consciousness. I just did a post on this today, I think. I just posted that today. You concentrate your energy. We're in a world where energy is scattered, distractions, swipes, autoplay. I put that in one of the tips on the post today. Turn off autoplay on Netflix, on YouTube. Stop scrolling. Limit yourself. I didn't add this in the thing, but for me, like when I watch stories, and it's very rare, it's just too much stimulation. It's too much. You have to focus. So maybe set yourself a limit. Okay, you're gonna watch. You only allow yourself to watch when you open Instagram. Allow yourself to watch maybe 5 stories at a time. Okay, set limits. You have to focus. Train your attention. When you train your attention, you concentrate your energy. Okay, bare minimum people are distracted and scattered and inconsistent. They don't know what their priorities are because everything's on the table. That's not, if you want to be a C or if you want a C average or a D in life, do that. But if you want better outcomes, you have to get more focused and intentional about where you're spending your energy. So focus, be consistent, train your attention, concentrate your energy, be intentional. Okay. I've been saying this a lot this week. I think delete accounts on social media that are in opposition, especially to your goals, but that are distracting. Get them out the way if you're serious. And if you're not, keep doing what you're doing. Accountability. That's why I like people to be in group. Accountability. People checking for you. People on the same page. People want what you want. Okay. Common shared goals do a lot to support your energy. Accountability. And then touchdowns. Okay. Touchdowns, 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 touchdowns. If you've been feeling like, you know, because this is a lot, right? Maybe you're at a C average now, going to an A right away. Why do it? We need a B first. You need a B first. You got to be a, if you're a C student in life, you got to get it. You got to be a B student before you're an A student. That's just, even if the next time the report card came out, it was an A, in between, you were a B, right? So you piecemeal this thing out. So you need touchdowns. You need successes. This also goes into being realistic about your goals, right? And goal setting in general. Don't go to where the most resistance is. Talk about strength training at the very beginning of this. If you just started strength, use the physical law for a metaphor. If you just started strength training and you never lifted the squat bar, it's 45 pounds standard. You wouldn't put 45 pound plates on either side and try to hop to an A. No, you're a D. So I need you to be a C. We're going to add 10 pound plates on both sides and try that. So be realistic with your goals. Wherever you're at, you just add a little bit more and get successful there. You don't go to the most resistance first. You need some resistance, but not max resistance right away, okay? Because you need to start to build some traction. Build some traction. Build some traction. That helps you to be consistent. So you're not hitting failure after failure each week. I need you confident. So I need you hitting touchdowns. I need you hitting successes. If your goal, this just came up in group the other day. If your goal is meditation, someone wanted to start meditating and they were trying to do 2 meditations a day, but weren't able to consistently do it. Boom, take 1 meditation away, because I need you hitting touchdowns. I need you consistent so that you're confident. And then we add as you go based off of whatever your goal is. So, wow, this was a really serious first episode. We're right at about an hour, and I think this was good. Thanks for listening, y'all. I'm excited for season 5. I think this is going to be the best season yet. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast already, go ahead and hit that button. If you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast. And if you really like it, share it with somebody who might be able to use it as well. I'll see you next week.